That scene is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and the Bott family read it moments ago, but let me read just verse 6 and 7 again for you. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I grew up with two older sisters, which has its pros and cons. The hand-me-downs are a drag. More ways than one, but another round of laughter, yeah. But one of the things that older sisters do with their younger brother is they work really hard to teach their younger brother how to treat women. Because if you don't treat women well, at least my sisters, they would grab my ear and drag me around the house. And if you look closely, my right ear is a little bit bigger than my left because this is the one they chose most often. My wife continues to train me to be a gentleman. She uses love instead of pain, but so I'm a better man every day. But being trained to be a gentleman, I look at this story and I smell something fishy. I can't understand why there was no room for a pregnant woman in an inn. There was no room for a woman who was about to give birth to a brand new baby in this inn. Let me share what I mean from another real-world example. If you're sitting on a full bus and you come to the bus stop and a whole new pile of people come into the bus, and among them is a pregnant woman, and she is, as the Bible calls her, great with child. And you're sitting there, and you see her scan through the bus, and she sees there's no seats, and you see the look of disappointment on her face and the exhaustion. What do you do, especially if you are a fine gentleman? What do you do? What's your next move? You get up. I mean, this isn't even being a gentleman. This is just everyday kindness. Here, take my seat. You deserve it. You're building a human. You're doing awesome. Come sit here. I will gladly stand so that you can have a seat. So I don't understand. I mean, if you're staying at an inn and a couple comes and they're about to have a baby and you have a room and you don't necessarily need it as much as them, would you not be willing to offer them space? The story doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think what's actually happening here is not a case of Mary and Joseph showing up too late and everything was booked. I think it's a case of Forrest Gump on the bus. You remember that scene? He comes on the bus, the other kids look at him and judge him. They scoot over, seats taken, right? There was room if they wanted to make room, but nobody except for Jenny, the love of his life, nobody wanted to make room for Forrest because of the judgments they put on him. You know, what's actually happening here at this time, as it was read earlier, is Caesar had issued a decree that everyone should go back to their town of origin because he wanted to do a census which would enable him to tax his subjects more efficiently. So Joseph, who was of the lineage of King David, the tribe of Judah, David came from Bethlehem. It's called the town of David, so his ancestry line goes to there. So that meant he and his extended relatives would have to travel to Bethlehem to register themselves for taxation purposes. Now, the word translated inn doesn't necessarily mean the kind of inn or motel that we are used to, where you show up, you check in, if there's a room, great, if there's no room, you got to go somewhere else. But what's most likely happening here is people are heading back to their hometown and staying with family. Culturally, that's exactly what would happen. Hospitality was a much bigger thing back then. You would go and you would stay with your relatives, but for some reason, the relatives even had no room for pregnant, contracting Mary. How is this possible? There was no room because nobody wanted to make room. You see, it wasn't a cause of showing up too late. It was a cause of people not wanting to make room for them. People thinking that Mary and Joseph didn't deserve the place in their home or in the inn because of what they had done. Because remember, Mary had this whole story about being a pregnant virgin. Right, Mary. Oh, right, an angel showed up, Mary. Oh, right, this baby is from God, Mary. Why don't you just tell us the truth? You and Joseph got started a little early, didn't you, Mary? So the stories went before them. The stigma surrounded them, and nobody could make room for them. Now, ultimately, without realizing it, people were saying, there's no room for Jesus. This baby, of course, as we know, that she was pregnant with is Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they were saying, there's no room for him. There's no room for the Son of God. There's no room for the King. There's no room for the Creator. There's no room for Emmanuel, God with us. He can go outside. He can go to the outskirts. He can go to the periphery, to the back barn to stay. I don't have room in my home. If I'm honest with myself, I often squeeze Jesus out and tell him there's no room. And I'm not just saying it's because I forget to read my Bible sometimes. I'm not just saying it's because I don't pray enough all the time. I'm not just saying it's because I'm not thinking about him. But it's so much more than that. I squeeze him out. I put him to the outside. I lower him on the list of priorities. I fill my life with other desires. I misappropriate my daily priorities in my schedule, and I'm filling my life with other things, and I don't have time to have him in my life. Or I'm distancing myself from the people in my life who need room in my life the most. You know, Jesus grew up, and he taught us something very important about making room. He taught us that if you give someone who's thirsty a cup of water, it's just like giving him a cup of water. He taught us that if you give someone who's hungry a meal, it's just like giving him a meal. He said if you go visit someone who's sick, it's just like going to visit him. The lowly, the outcast, those who have nothing, those who are broke, those who are sick, represent Jesus in this world. And when we reach out to them, when we make room for them, we've made room for Jesus. And I don't always do that. I don't always make room. When we make room for a pregnant woman on a bus or in an inn, even when we think she's pregnant because she's did things she shouldn't have done, we are making room for Jesus. I wonder when he taught that, if he was thinking about that night that his mom was told she couldn't have anywhere decent to give birth to her firstborn son. The really crazy thing is that the people who said to Joseph and Mary that we have no room for you are the very people who have been waiting generations for the Messiah to come. They were waiting for this very moment, yet when he came, they had no room. I wonder if that is true in my life. I don't know about you, but I have hopes and I have dreams. I have prayers that I'm praying. I have desires and things that I want in my life that are yet to be fulfilled. And I believe that the fulfillment of my hopes and dreams are in God. I believe that the answers to my prayers are in the power of God. But I wonder sometimes if I'm not experiencing the fulfillment of those hopes or the answers to those prayers because I'm being an innkeeper, because I haven't made room. What if I'm refusing to make room and I don't even realize it? What if I think I've made room just because I have room over here, but God really wants to show up over here? The people waiting for the Savior were not expecting him to come as a baby in the belly of a teenage girl in Bethlehem. But that's the very reason they missed him. So if we are expecting God to come through on our desires and fulfill a promise that we believe has come from him or answer a prayer, yet we haven't made room, how will we ever know when he's even trying to, when he's knocking on our door and looking for an opportunity to reveal himself? Now, I believe that by showing up here tonight, that's really symbolic of the fact that you have made room for him. You've taken time out of your Christmas celebration schedule in order to spend this time singing carols and experiencing the presence of God with others who are seeking him and seeking to make room. I believe that in this moment, because we've made room, God can speak. God can move. Jesus can show up. Jesus can meet the need that we so desire to be met. You know, Jesus moved on from that stable out back and became the most influential person to ever walk the face of the planet. He taught us, he healed us, he suffered and died on the cross, he rose again, and he's in heaven, and he's doing something there very specific. He tells us what he's going to do, and his best friend's gospel, John chapter 14. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. It says, in my Father's house, in other words, in heaven, there's lots of room. There's plenty of space. In fact, he said, I'm going there. He's there right now preparing room for you and I. He's getting the place ready for our arrival. And here's the amazing thing. This is the gospel. When Jesus came, we had no room for him. But he promises that when we come to him, there's plenty of room for us. There's plenty of room around that little manger. There's lots of space under the cross. There's lots of room to go around at the feet of our Lord. And he's got a home and a room specifically for you and for me in his Father's house. And he's preparing it for us right now.